welcome to the Pinken Facebook page live. Myself and Paddy Davitt, fresh back from Colney and the pre-match press conference ahead of Norwich's Carabao Cup first round tie.
Well said.
At home to Swindon Town, which is of course very exciting. But I think probably what dominated the press conference today with Daniel Farke, who was the only one we got to speak to, was of course the events of Saturday. Nelson Oliveira as well, as much as Daniel perhaps didn't want to talk about it. What should we talk about first, Pat?
He didn't want to talk about it, but then he did actually, didn't he?
And you got some great stuff with him.
He was excellent. Oh man, yeah. I mean, that is for me quote of the season already, and we're only 2 days in.
He's good at them.
Yeah, very, very impressed with him today, because there was an underlying steel to on that topic, what he was coming out with, and as much as we've seen the rather easygoing sort of side of Daniel Farke already, that today was the first time he just thought, yeah, this guy, when he needs to be tough, he will be tough with his players. And you know, for me, it's given we all know what we're talking about here, and the events immediately after Nelson's equaliser and the bare-chested celebration, the show in the shirt with his name on the back. Farke has killed it today for me with it's about the name on the front, not the back of the shirt. And then he elaborated a bit further about it's about the team, not about an individual, never will be about an individual, whether it's Nelson, whether it's any of his players, whether it's any other member of staff. And if he has to remind people, he will. And it was the way he delivered that. If I have to remind people, made you think, yeah, I think Nelson might have had a reminder already.
Yeah, quite.
So, yeah, I mean, I thought he was good immediately after, on Saturday, after the game, straight after the incident. He was obviously bombarded by myself and the other press guys. And on that one, he was a bit more kind of, well, he's almost Portuguese. They're an emotional sort of type of people. And, you know, I love that. I love to see that passion. I did it myself as a player. He regaled us with an anecdote where he torn off a shirt, thrown it down at his coach, which obviously Nelson didn't do, but you know, there was a forgiveness to what Daniel Farke had seen. But I think subsequently, and the way I phrased the question today was, when you saw the TV pictures, what did you think? And I think probably he would have seen it subsequently since Saturday afternoon, and yeah, his line had certainly hardened, I think it's fair to say.
Yeah, which is interesting, isn't it, that change of dynamic and how he's altered. And I guess that goes with how he's probably spoken to them about it. Interesting as well, I thought that he made such a point of talking about the collective of the team, whereas I think some managers in the past have been more akin to, well, of course you'll do well individually because you'll want to do well for yourself and then the team will benefit.
But
that's almost, you know, probably the more favourable way Daniel's talking about it is what you'd really want in terms of that collective and some of the parts and all that stuff.
Yeah, I mean, he's spoken regularly about togetherness, and he again alluded to it on the pitch. But I guess what he's saying is it's off the pitch as well. It's the togetherness of the whole group, not just the 11 who take the field. It's the lads who are on the bench, the lads who don't make the squad, all the support staff, you know, all the people, I guess, if you want to expand it, to Steve Stone and his teams, you know, the corporate, the commercial. Effectively, it should just be everybody pulling in the same direction on and off the pitch. They're all working towards the same goal, and if there's anybody, whether it's Oliver or whoever, feels they're a little bit out of that or a little bit above that and they're going to do their own thing, not going to happen on this guy's watch. Certainly not going to happen. And I think the quicker the penny drops for Nelson Oliveira, the better.
Yes, quite, absolutely. Especially with the transfer window still open, of course. Now, don't forget, let us know where you're watching from. Get your questions in and we'll answer them. As I said, we were at Saturday's game, of course, and we were at Colney just this afternoon ahead of the cup game. I don't know. I suppose just the last thing maybe on Fulham was the stat about the possession, which I thought was really interesting. Obviously, we'll have clips going up on pinken.com and the new YouTube channel over this afternoon. But really interesting that, you know, I thought it was really insightful in terms of Farke's philosophy, in terms of just reiterating the possession, the tiring the opposition because they're chasing the ball, and trying to do that at a team where, I think you have to remind me if I get this right, Norwich became the first team on Saturday to have more possession than Fulham at Craven Cottage in a year.
Apparently so, yeah. That's the stat, which is a super stat, as in, you know, that isn't just the ones that are readily available on social media. He's obviously got some analysis that he's pulled out that one. But what I like, to be fair, to move that on, is when I asked him, OK, yeah, you're saying that there was a lot of elements of the performance you were happy with. What weren't you happy with? And I thought he was really good on that, because I think we could all see that he basically almost said that they, in that first 15-20 minutes, they didn't press collectively as he'd wanted to. So, consequently, there was a lot of space down the sides. He said he needed to be better at that. He felt they weren't as good as they could be in possession as well in that first 15-20 minutes. And I think everybody watching the game who was there could see that they did look a little bit rabbit in the headlights, some of those players. But to give him his due, give those players their due as well. He changed it tactically. They looked far more cohesive from that point onwards, while still, because obviously the nature of being 1-0 down, you had to commit men forward and they left themselves a bit exposed. But I just thought it was really insightful stuff today that, you know, he's obviously subsequently looked back at the tapes, I'm sure, and gone through it in a bit more forensic detail, and he could see there were areas there that they need to brush up on. And yeah, all in all, on every topic today, very impressive from the head coach, I thought.
So I think that probably ties up Saturday, doesn't it?
Yeah.
Enough of all that.
Why not?
Look ahead to Tuesday for the excitement of the Carabao League Cup. I mean, that is my exciting gesture right there. Excited by it?
Well, he's excited by it.
Yeah,
he is. That's the main reason. I mean, okay, and I put the point to him, there's been people sat in his chair, previous managers, who may have said, yes, of course, we'll give it a good go and, you know, we want to win the game. And then you see their lineup, and it's pretty clear that they're not giving it a good go and they're not really fussed if they win the game. But maybe in the context of what we were hearing from on the Oliveira topic, that, but when he said that he definitely wants to win this game, you actually felt, yes, he'll put a team out which will reflect that. And also, more importantly, the mindset from the coach downward will be that we're here to win this game, not come out of this with no injuries and we'll move on and Sunderland's the priority this week. Of course, we all know it is the priority, but no, I think certainly from his outlook that they do want a decent run in this competition, because I think that the key factor is that he feels it's very important at this part of the season that they get some rhythm to their play, that they get some momentum. And why wouldn't you want to have a good performance and a good win tomorrow night, and then it feels like you're rolling on again from Fulham? You know, there's not a lot to be gained, I don't think, but unfortunately we've seen this with previous Norwich managers at this stage, where you basically throw away the midweek League Cup tie and then you then find that has a knock-on effect to Saturday's or Sunday's, as it is, this week's performance in the league when they resume the Championship. So why not go and give it full bore? And I think the good thing is as well, and we might get onto this, is that he's got some options that he can throw in now. Some of the new signings, the two lads who came in over the weekend, Wes and Evo, they can get some minutes. So I don't think it's going to be by any stretch a development style lineup.
No, we'll come on to the lineup in a bit, but that probably all stems back to Paul Lambert's era, doesn't it? Norwich were rubbish in cup competitions long before Paul Lambert arrived, but Paul Lambert had it down to a T where they were brilliant in the league and they just throw away the cup games generally, and it didn't matter. And that almost enveloped a sense of acceptance that that's okay because we'll do all right in the league. And I guess maybe this is the first time, hopefully, that a manager is going to be stronger throughout and, like you say, engender that momentum over a longer
I mean, ultimately, we think from his soundbites that he's going to take it seriously. But until we get to 6:45 Tuesday night and we see the team news, we're not going to know. But I just get the sense that it won't be, no disrespect to them, the Ben Godfreys and his peers. I think it's going to be the Steepermans, maybe even Tribal, certainly Evo, certainly Wes. A real decent first team. And more importantly, to reiterate the point, sent out with a mindset from the coach that, yeah, we're not just going for the motions here, lads. We want to win this game. We want to get into the next round. We want to build again for Sunderland.
So Nick Alpers asks, thanks for your question, Nick, any chance of Miley Watkins playing up top tomorrow? Because, I mean, that's interesting. It's going to be Cam or it's going to be Nelson.
Didn't you ask a question?
I did ask him that, because to me it's like, oh, well, you've got Cam and Nelson. If you take those two out of it, are you still happy with the striker options? And he mentioned, well, we've got Marley, Josh Murphy, so it doesn't sound like they are looking for a striker.
Not
just fair, or certainly not in terms of an instant need. I guess Marley maybe could do with the game to get a bit sharper in front of goal. Is that harsh?
Well, I mean, he didn't cover himself in glory in one or two excellent opportunities, did he? But then he put a banger in the top corner against Brighton. So,
and his play around, play around that was great, wasn't it? It was just the finishing, probably.
I think if he hypothetically, if he plays him centrally tomorrow, he gets himself a goal or two, then of course that's got to be good for the lad's confidence, hasn't it? So why wouldn't you want to sort of maybe take that opportunity? It will be interesting how he goes on the top end of the pitch. I don't think Jerome's going to get an outing. And much like with Russell Martin, I don't think we'll see Russell Martin either tomorrow night. So clearly there has to be a little bit of protection, a little bit of a recognition there's one or two injury doubts there, or there's lads are trying to protect, should we say. So, but within that, risk of repeating myself, I think it'll still be a decent lineup.
It's never stopped us before, Pad, repeating ourselves.
We make an art form.
Jonathan Parker, lots of players need experience of English football, so tomorrow is an ideal opportunity. Yeah. Martin Green disagrees. Okay. Momentum is more important, which I guess is the whole balancing act, isn't it? What we've got here, Jordan Bryce. Who do you think was our strongest player and weakest player from last weekend? And would you change the lineup for Saturday? So I presume you mean Sunday for Sunderland, which is, of course, Norwich got a little bit longer to recover, at least for them.
Well, I mean, weakest for me was probably Mario Vrančić, just because I thought in that period, we're talking about that first 20-25 minutes, the game just totally bypassed him. Yeah. You know, with Norwich in reverse, he looked a little bit, dare I say it, Dorans-esque to me, in terms of he wasn't carrying a lot of weight or offering a lot. When he's on the ball, there's no question the guy's got ability, and I think that'll be proven. But I just think if you were going away, particularly to those type of helter-skelter games, he looked a bit of a passenger to me without the ball. So, but you know, to give the guy his due, I mean, that was his first proper English football game, totally different tempo to pre-season, and against a very good opponent. I think a team who will be up there and challenging. So, you know, taking all that together, I think, you know, it can only be better for that experience. But in terms of moving on, how many of them you'd look to maybe change up? I think Ivo Pinto, if he's of a fitness level, he can do a job. He would need to come back into that defence for me, without a shadow of a doubt, whether it's the wing back role on the right hand side, or whether you go with a four and you play him right back. You know, maybe Wes, you could say, would he offer you a bit more at home than a Maddison and a Vrančić? Possibly. But again, that's all about how you incorporate him in whatever system the head coach wants to go with. I'm trying to think. I don't think there's too many other changes you would make, really, allowing for the ones who you might have available, because it's only really, by all accounts, Harry Toffolo, Jamal Lewis, they're not going to be anywhere near it for the weekend. So in terms of the personnel available, I think it's pretty much what he had on Saturday, really.
Yeah, it'll be interesting to see what he does with Josh, I guess, because, I mean, he did look rusty, thought, on Saturday.
Well, I would think he would definitely start tomorrow night. I think that is a perfect opportunity to get him some game time.
And maybe up top. Maybe he'll be the main man. What else we got here? Stuart Lewis, we always say cup games are a chance for fringe players to impress the boss. This time it might be true, which I guess is the point if some guys get brought in.
Yeah,
I've always thought it. You get brought in for the cup game, you know you're not going to play at the weekend. What's the point?
Yeah.
I guess, again, we're guessing at the moment, aren't we, that might be an element.
Well, we'll take Stiepermann, for example. He was very clear, the way he was talking today, Daniel Farke, that this isn't a guy, contrasted to Tribal, who needs a week or two to acclimatise and get a base level of fitness. He's clearly, because I think Bundesliga 2 kicked off a week before Norwich, so, and he was at Bochum there, fully plugged in, playing games, training through pre-season. So he is ready to go. It's just whether you incorporate him so soon into the actual team dynamic. But the way Farke was talking today, I think he feels he's a very experienced individual that he could handle straight in tomorrow night. And he can apparently play left back, he can play left midfield, and he can play left wing back. So why wouldn't you want to have a look at him with a view to Sunderland, definitely?
Jason Bond, in my eyes, we don't have many strikers. Watkins and Josh don't fit the bill. Jerome, yeah, works hard. Bottom line is Oliveira is the only all-out striker we've got. Jerome will get the first 45 on Tuesday. Do you reckon?
Can't see it. No, can't see it.
Keith Shaw. Hello, lads. What's happening with Pierre Foncoux? Has he officially signed yet? Good question, that. Do you want to answer it, Pat?
You asked the man himself, didn't you?
I did, yeah, off the record. Mainly because I wasn't sure what was happening. And then I think you kind of answered it alongside him, actually.
Yeah.
To the degree
Well, he was looking a bit puzzled. I think there's a bit of confusion about what the guy's surname is. Yeah, whether it's Javier, whether it's Foncoux, Javier or what. But for, as I understand it, basically they're still talking to Bruges, his old / current club, and they're not at a point where that's all been signed and sealed. But you only have to look at, I mean, he played again, didn't he, on Friday in that practice game at Colney. So he's clearly one who is looking like he's going to come in. But in terms of the rubber stamping, we haven't got to that point yet. So as a result of that, I don't think there would be an eligibility issue. I don't think you can play him tomorrow night.
We will see. Morgan Breland, we have four goalkeepers. Anyone looking to move on? Interesting, Michael McGovern was the number two on Saturday, which of course then leaves Remy Matthews and Paul Jones. It does seem odd that they'd go beyond the transfer window with four keepers,
but
ultimately they might not have much choice, I guess. It depends if anyone comes in for Michael.
I think it's moving parts, isn't it? Because if that was the scenario, then you would then want to keep the three in the building. Now if that isn't the case, then do you want, for example, a Remy Matthews? I don't think there's a lot down for him to be playing development football between now and January effectively. So you know, if McGovern doesn't look to be going anywhere in the closing days of the window, then I think Remy would have to go out on loan, because it's absolutely vital now, the age he is, that he has to be playing games. And by all accounts, he did very well at Hamilton, didn't he, last season? So he would want to go out, I'm sure, and play football.
Yeah, it'd be a bit counterproductive to have Angus Gunn coming in to try and get some football, and then Remy's development then gets stifled by being stuck here and not getting any games. A couple of questions about Stephen Naismith. It's the last game of his ban, I think, on Tuesday, isn't it?
It is indeed.
He missed QPR at the end of last season and then Saturday, so he'll be free for Sunderland.
Yeah, that's a good one. Yeah,
be interesting if he features. Jonathan Parker, what was your view of Husband on Saturday? I think I marked him quite low, mainly because I like him. I just thought end product maybe going forward, but he worked hard and
he did get
defensively.
A lot.
I think he did all right.
I mean, he got exposed, but that wasn't completely down to him, was it? You know, there was a lot of overloading down his flank, so. Yeah. You have to sort of use that as mitigation, but I'd like to see him kick on a bit. But again, he's one. Then he get injured early on this time last summer, and then it was literally he didn't really play at all. So he's one maybe fitness wise, sharpness wise, he's still coming back to a level. But clearly, I've seen something in him, and I think him and Steeperman now are going to fight it out down the left hand side, I think.
Indeed. And Darren Malier asks about Adam Phillips, who's of course a new signing. I mean, I think he's pretty much earmarked as development.
Certainly,
development football.
Certainly for now, yeah. Certainly for now.
Does that include a League Cup game? Probably not, the way Daniel was speaking today.
No, but then if you've got Reid, take him out of the equation, then you could play Tete there. You've got the lad Tribal. He seems to be identified as that type of deeper lying midfielder. So I think those would be ahead of Phillips in the pecking order. So, as I said, I would be very surprised if he's going to go that end of the squad slash first and development. I think I get the sense it's going to be more the senior end, and we won't see too many of the Fonkus slash Phillips slash Godfrey's. Ben Godfrey maybe.
We've got about 3 minutes, I reckon. We'll be done well before three, so get your questions in, but they're flying in at the moment, so we'll rattle through them. Morgan, will Angus start tomorrow? Interesting one, that, isn't it?
Yeah, it is. I don't know. I suppose if he's looking at it with a view to Sunday and bedding in a Steeperman or an Ivo Pinto or whatever, then you might want to put him in. But by the same token, you know, it's one you can probably go with McGovern, I think, and not lose too much in that respect. But who knows?
What was it? There was a line he said today: "I'm not going to give anyone any gifts to keep them happy."
Right.
So. You take that, but a bit of master of words, Daniel Farker. Paul Chesterton is online.
Is he?
Our photographer, PC. Main man. Hello
Top
there,
man.
PC. I'm sorry you're not sitting here, because you're probably better than me, to be honest. But we'll have to get you back in. Next time you're in Norwich, we'll get you in on one of these.
He only does the overseas ones.
Diva. William Bunn. Yannick's had a good pre-season and a good start to the season. When everyone's fit, is he going to be a squad player or is he going to hold a place? I mean, I actually thought... I know the defending for the goal wasn't very good.
That's an understatement.
But... other than that, I thought he did pretty well in what is probably a new position.
Yeah, no, he's done everything he could have done to get himself aided by Jacob's departure and one or two injuries. But he has, you know, because I think at the start of the pre-season you would have felt that he was going to be nowhere near it. So that's credit to the lad himself. Mm. But I just always think with him, he's such a confidence player now. The more I see him, the more, you know, even within games, you know, if he goes and beats a fullback once or twice, then it looks like just give him the ball and he's going to create. If it goes the other way, then he goes into a shell a little bit. But no, I would think if he's going to stick with the three for Sunderland and Ivo Pinto's fit, I think he might bring Ivo Pinto back, because you've got a bit more defensive now, but also he gives you probably as much as Wiltshire going forward.
Yeah, I spot on, agree with that. Let's just round off then with a couple of Steeperman questions. Ashley Bale Bootle asks, does he play left back? And Chris Dayton says, is he the defender that Stuart Webber was talking about? I think it's clear. I think the club said that he was a number 10 initially, then he played into a sort of a deeper midfield role, and then a bit more left back, and it seems to me that sort of midfield and left back cover is where we're going to see him operate most.
Yeah, no, he's definitely not the one that Stuart Webber said 2 to 3. They've brought in 2 midfielders now. They're definitely looking for a centre back, so he doesn't tick that box in that sense, but he does tick a box in terms of, yeah, he can play anywhere down the left hand side. And as I say, if Farker is effectively going to go with the three more often than not, then he's a left wing back option all day long. I think that's how they see him.
Paul Chesterton, finally, Paul, still here, hasn't left after I called him a diva. Starting striker tomorrow.
Well, he's such a big fan of Jerome, I'm sure he wants to start with Cam and Jerome.
Yeah, good man. Well, we'll see if we can get off before he comments on that one, Paul. How long is Jarvis supposed to be out for? I don't think he's going to be back fit during beyond the transfer window.
Beyond the window, yeah. Beyond the window.
And onwards, quite possibly, sadly. Right, we'll wrap up. Don't forget all the press conference wrapping up and analysis, and of course live coverage tomorrow from the game at Carrow Road against Swindon in the Carabao Cup first round. Pinken.com, the only place to be. Until then, thank you so much all for watching, Pat.
Cheers.
Thank you very much. And we'll see you tomorrow night.